All right, we'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, amen. One of the best parts about being a priest is getting to go and spend time with little kids in Sunday school. If you can remember back to your own Sunday school days, let's do a blast from the past here. Let's go back to like second grade Sunday school, or third grade, or even first grade if you can remember back that far, if you've been there recently. The best part of any Sunday school class, by far, is at the very end when the teacher says, "Who wants to pray?" Who wants to pray is the best part of Sunday school. You get lots of little kids, off each one. Either you have two situations. Either everyone wants to pray or no one wants to pray. But no matter what the situation is, the prayer is always really, really cute. How does every Sunday school kid's prayer start out? What's the first words uttered?
Thank you.
Thank you, God, for what? Well, usually it's thank you, God, for everything. Okay? Then the laundry list begins. Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, God, for my Abuna. Thank you for my mommy and daddy. Thank you for my brother Steve. Give a big hand to Steve. Yay. And then the laundry list goes on. And thank you, and kids thank for their shoes and for the sky and for their teacher and for everything else in the world. And it's a very, very cute thing. And believe it or not, we sit there and we laugh and we say, oh, those kids are foolish and, you know, they're not as mature as our prayers and stuff like that. But these kids have stumbled onto a great thing in life, which is that the root of everything in this world comes to us from God. If you had to describe God in like one or two words, one of the words that I would use is giving. Okay? And everything that comes to us in life is a gift from God. Okay? If you look at the story of the Bible, it's about how God gave life to man. And then when man messed up, God gave man a second chance. And then how did God give man a second chance? By giving his son. And his son, what did he do? Well, he gave his life. And then the sum of that whole thing was that so God could give us eternal life. The story of history is a story of God as a giver. And the greatest gift, talking about what's the greatest gift that God gave us? What would you say?
Salvation.
Salvation, okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life. God gives us eternal life. That, I would say, if we're going to rank the gifts that God gives us, that's probably number one. Or salvation, same thing. What else are some of the major gifts that God gives us? Another big one that is commonly on the list that we celebrated last week on Pentecost is God gave us what? Gave us the Holy Spirit, okay? This is another pretty valuable thing for us, that without the Holy Spirit, we'd be kind of lost in life. So we all know God gave us eternal life, and we all know that God gave us the Holy Spirit. God gave us, you know, His Spirit inside of us. But then what we want to get into today is what about anything else? What about all the other gifts that God gives to us? Those are like the two big ones that everyone kind of knows about, but there's so many more gifts that God gives to us. And the one we want to focus on today comes, look in Romans 12, verse 6. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay, we know that God provides a special mission for each one of us. Okay? And that every one of us talked about this so many times, that each one of us has a specific purpose in life. Everyone agree with me? Every one of us has a calling in life to do whatever it may be. It only makes sense, only logical, if God has a different calling for each one, then God is therefore going to equip each one with different gifts. Right? It's only logic. If I'm going to ask you to mow my lawn, I'm going to provide you a lawnmower. If I'm going to ask you to, you know, cut a tree down, I'm going to give you a saw or something, okay? I wouldn't ask you to do something and not give you the tools to do it, all right? So same thing with God. If we all agree that God has a specific mission for each one of us, then it's only common sense that God has specific gifts that He gives to each one of us as well. He would never provide you with a job without the tools. He would never say, "I want everyone to be a servant," without giving everyone gifts in order to do that service. So what are the gifts that God gives to us? Well, if you look in the Bible, there is a whole list of spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about that God gives to us. For example, what? What are some of the gifts mentioned in the Bible that potentially we could have?
Preaching.
Very good.
Teaching.
Very good. Prophecy. Very good. Exhortation. Giving.
Tongues.
Ministry. Service. caring. There's all kinds of gifts which are listed in the Bible that are too many for us to talk about in one session. But the point is whatever it is you are, whoever it is you have at least one gift. Okay? And every one of us has to believe that. That every one of us was given a special gift that only we have. Okay? Now, when I'm talking about gifts, this is different than like, I'm not talking about physical gifts. I'm talking about spiritual gifts. Alright? Physical gifts, everyone has. But spiritual gifts, then we would limit those to only people who are spiritual beings. Okay? So, when you're born, a physical body, you're given certain physical gifts. Smell, eye, hear, touch, whatever. So when you're born spiritually, the day of your baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit, you're given spiritual gifts. You may not realize in that day, but you'll get there one day. Maybe your gift, like we said, is teaching, is prophecy, is mercy's a gift, giving is a gift. There's all kinds of wonderful gifts. Now, when it comes to your physical gifts, do you get to choose what physical gifts you get? Like, let's say I'm born blind. Do I get to say, no, thank you, I'd rather have sight instead of hearing? Do you get to choose? Obviously, no. Well, what about spiritual gifts? Do you get to choose? No, same thing. Same way you get assigned physical gifts, you get assigned spiritual gifts. Okay? And it's your job not to complain or to figure out why that guy has it, this guy doesn't have it. Just figure out what you have and use it. So what we want to get into today is, how do I know what my gifts are? How do I figure out my gifts? What are spiritual gifts? You know, and what good are they to me anyway? Well, that's what we're going to talk about right now. The first thing, well, before we jump into the reasons why you need to know your spiritual gifts, the most important reason that you need to understand this concept of spiritual gifts is because it comes from God. And if God gives you anything, regardless of what you think about it, it's important for us to figure it out. Okay? If God is going to personally deliver something to me with my name on it and hand give it to me, then I need to at least recognize that and figure out what it is and see what I'm going to do with it. All right? So that's important for us to know. But then specifically, what can we learn about our gifts? Well, the first thing is that my gifts show God's plan for my life. Show God's plan for my life. Based, if I see what my gifts are, then I know what God wants for me. And all of us are trying to figure out, what's God's will for my life? What does God want for me in life? Well, take a look at your spiritual gifts, and maybe that'll help you out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. St. Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Understanding your spiritual gifts, like I said, will help you figure out what it is that God wants you to do in life. And this is a question that all of us hopefully are trying to figure out. Is that what is it that I was made to do? I know that I'm not here putting it for no reason. I know that there's some purpose to me. So what is it? Well, if you look at the spiritual gifts and you figure out how you were gifted, then that'll give you a clue into what God wants for your life specifically. Okay? It'll tell you whether you should focus your time on this area or focus on this area. And when it comes to like, can we talk about everyone has to be a servant and get involved in ministry? Well, there's millions of ministries. Which one should I get involved in? Knowing your gifts will help you figure that out. Okay? We know that all of us are called to serve, but what I'm talking about here specifically is what way you're called to serve. Service is a big thing, okay? So, for example, let's say you have the gift. Let's take easy ones, okay? Let's say your gift is like, you know, like we said before last time, is caring, okay? You love to care for cats and dogs and mice and rabbits and all that kind of stuff. What do you think maybe God wants you to serve? How does God want you to serve in life, potentially? What could you do with that gift? Help the poor, okay? Maybe, you know, God wants you to start a homeless shelter and care for the poor. Who knows? Let's say you have a gift, you're a very organized person, and you're good at organizing stuff. What could be your potential ministry?
Church library,
okay. God wants you to take this big volume of books and organize it somehow, and the card system, and the Dewey Decimals, and all that kind of stuff. Every one of us has gifts, and it's just a matter of using them the right way. Let's say you have a gift, for example, let's say you're a people person, and you're good at making friends with people, and convincing people of things. What do you think could be your ministry in life? Your calling?
Evangelism.
Okay, very good. If you're good at selling people on something and convincing someone, well then you are a perfect fit for this whole idea of evangelism for the Lord Christ. Okay? So the gift determines the service, not vice versa. We like to do the opposite. We like to choose the service that we want, and then ask for the gift. doesn't work that way. You get the gift, and then that leads you to the service, not vice versa. Okay, look back at that verse in 1 Corinthians. There's a word that I underlined. It came up three times there. It's two words, but it's pretty much the same. Diversities and differences in diversities. Notice that word is repeated three times, okay? And that shows us, or stresses, emphasizes the fact that every gift in life really is unique, okay? And there are no two people who have the exact same set of gifts, all right? It's always tempting for us to try to copy someone else's gifts. It's always tempting to look at someone and say, I want to be just like that person, okay? Let's say, you know, you've been away from God for all these years, you decided to come back, and the person who brought you back, you know, is a person who, like, you know, prays the Egbeia like 15 hours a day. They're like an Egbeia freak, and they, like, pray backwards and forwards like three or four times whole way all day. So you say, you know what? If I want to be a good Christian, I got to be able to stand and pray for 15 hours. You know, St. Anthony prayed for like 15 hours a day. Why can't, you know, I should have the same thing? Well, maybe not all of us have that same gift to be able to stand and pray for 15 hours a day. Not saying don't pray your Egbeia. I'm just saying that just because you can't pray it 15 hours a day doesn't mean that anything is lacking in you or anything like that. We look at someone like Pope Carolus. Pope Carolus could do miracles. So if I want to be spiritual, I got to do miracles. No, that's his gift. You know, he was given that gift. But here's the thing. You were given a gift that Pope Carolus wasn't given. Did you know that? The Pope Carolus looks at you. I'm not saying he's jealous of you, but he says that you have a gift that he doesn't have. And he has a gift that you don't have. And all of us have different gifts in the body of Christ. All right? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them all. So God didn't want us to copy anyone. All right? If he'd have wanted us to copy, he'd have given us those gifts. He knows what's best for us. He's going to give you whatever it is best for you. It's very important to understand this concept because this leads to lots of disagreements sometimes, okay? And here, like, for example, in this church, in the one body, we all have the same beliefs. But even though we all have the same beliefs, lots of times people disagree on the way things should be done. That's because people have different gifts, you know? Let's say, for example, let's say we had like a, this is the church deciding body right here. We get to decide what to do. Let's say next month there's an extra $1,000 that came up in the church treasury. Okay, extra $1,000 that we can spend this month. Do you think we all believe the same thing? We all believe in the same God. We all want to glorify God. Do you think we're all going to want to do the exact same thing with that $1,000? No. The person who's gifted with evangelism is going to say, that money has to go to outreach strategies and evangelism events and things like that. Then the guy who is the organizer, the banker guy, says, no, we should pay off the loan and get the interest rate and all that kind of stuff. And the person who loves little kids say, we need to buy toys and chalkboard and stuff like that for the Sunday school. And everyone's going to disagree. No one's right and no one's wrong. It's just a matter of you're going to see things how you're gifted, okay? How you have been programmed by God. Let's play a little game now to make this story clear. Let's say I'm at McDonald's, okay? And I'm at McDonald's with six of my buddies, right? And every one of us has different gifts, and I'll tell you what the different gifts are. An event happens. I spill my Big Mac on the floor. A disaster, I know. Okay, a catastrophe in the making here. I spill on the floor. Each person, you can tell what your spiritual gift is by your response. Let's play a game. Let's say your gift is mercy. How would you respond? I spilled my Big Mac. Oh no, I dropped my Big Mac. What would mercy say? Someone said over here, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Just relax. It's going to be okay. Not a big deal. Okay? A lot of us are smiling. Maybe we're mercy in the room. Then let's say someone's gift is preaching. What does preaching say? That's what happens when you're not careful with your Big Mac. That's what's supposed to happen because you didn't listen to this, and that. Let's say your gift is giving. What would giving say? Here's my Big Mac. Let me go buy you another one. Okay? Let's say your gift is teaching. What would teaching say? The reason the Big Mac fell is because there was too much weight on the left side of the plate while there wasn't enough on the right side of the plate. And finally, let's say your gift is administration. What would administration say? Sally, you get the mop and clean it up. Martha, you go there and you buy a new one. Hibba, you take the napkins, all this kind of stuff. You'd automatically start delegating stuff to do. So you see the same event, different people are going to react different ways. And that's how you figure out what your gift is. No one's right and no one's wrong, but like the verse tells, it's a diversity of gifts, but the same spirit. All right? Yes, Eddie.
What would you gift if you picked it up and ate it?
Resourcefulness would be your gift. Or wisdom, I was going to say, but I didn't want to. Anyway, point is, we're all different. We all have many different gifts, but it's the same God who gives them to us all. All right? So my gift helps me to figure out what's God's plan for my life. All right? That's number one. Number two thing is that my gifts show my value or my worth. My value or my worth. My gifts show my value. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ and the members individually. Every part, okay, I said everyone's diversities, okay? But every part of this diversity, every member is no more valuable than any of the other members, okay? Every member is just as significant or valuable as the other ones. And no, there's no little people, is what I'm trying to say. There's no one who's insignificant in the body of Christ. That means that no matter what your gift is or my gift is, that each one of it is needed. Okay? My gift may be to stand up here and yap, yap, yap to you guys. And you may not have that same gift. And you say, well, if Woody Andy doesn't use his gift, then someone's lacking. Well, I say the same thing to you. If you don't use your gift, then someone's lacking. Whatever that gift may be. Okay? There may be differences, but each one is needed. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, the end pieces are the most important because those are the ones you got to start with. But if I don't have the middle piece, then the puzzle's not done. It's not complete. Same thing in the body of Christ. All right? I want you to realize that your unique gift in life, if you don't use it, someone is cheated. Someone is robbed. Someone is not getting the maximum value out of life because God plans you to use that gift in whatever way He wants you to use it in the body of Christ. All right? Just because I haven't seen the value doesn't mean that it's not there. Okay? The value is there even though sometimes we haven't seen it. Let's say, for example, I had a $100 bill here. Okay? And I made you all close your eyes and then I hid it somewhere in this room. Most likely, if I did that and I told you to open your eyes, there'd be like a mad rush to get this $100 bill somewhere. All right? You would search until you find it. But let's say someone was lazy. Let's say someone said, you know what? I'm just going to look here. It's not here. There's no $100 in this room. There's no $100 in this room. Does that make sense? Just because you haven't found it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, right? Well, same thing with our gifts. Some of you sit there and say, well, I don't have any gifts. I haven't found anything. Well, just because you haven't found it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means you didn't look right. You didn't look in the right place. You didn't look hard enough yet. But each one of us has a gift, all right? And it's just a matter of trying to find it. So each one of you has a gift, and if that gift is not used, the world is lacking, and the world is missing something by you not using your gift. All right? So my gifts show my worth and my value. And then the third thing that my gifts do is my gifts are the source of fulfillment in life. The source of fulfillment. My hypothesis is, and I'm going to test it out here, and if I'd have said it upstairs in the church, I'd have been really, really sure. But saying it to some college students who are ready for the summer, I'm a little bit iffy. But my hypothesis is that there's no one in the world who likes to be useless. You guys agree, or some of you? At least for all of life. Maybe, you know, for a three-month period, you don't mind being useless. Maybe you desire to be useless. But in general in life, people like to be productive. People like to have a value. People like not to consider themselves as useless, you know, beings in society or to the world. Most people have a desire that by the end of their lifetime, that the world is a different place because they lived. Hopefully a better place. But that the world is somehow impacted by their existence and they are not just insignificant in life. Well, what I'm telling you is that your gift can tell you how you can make an impact. Your gift tells you how you can be productive in society and in the church and in the body of Christ. But then even more importantly is that when you use your gift, you actually find fulfillment, okay? It's an enjoyable experience. Look at John chapter 15, verse 8 through 11. Our Lord says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, So you will be my disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. See, he makes a connection in there. That you bear much fruit, okay? And somehow, by bearing much fruit, there's a joy factor which is involved here. Did you know that in the Greek language, the origin of the word joy and the word gift have the same origin? Okay? Joy and gift have the same origin in the original Greek language. What that teaches me is that true joy comes from using my gift. Okay? That when you're using your gift, you find fulfillment or satisfaction in life. Real joy doesn't come from material things. Okay? Real joy comes from feeling God is using you in life and by using the things that He gave you. All right? Sometimes I tell people this and they don't believe me, but it's true. And you can ask around and do a survey, and this is true. That the greatest thrill in life, that the greatest experience you can have in life, alcohol, drugs, sex, money, riches, cars, nothing compares to the thrill of being used by God. I'll go to my grave saying that, and I truly believe that. Some people disagree with me, but I know that I'm right. There is no greater thrill, okay? Maybe you've been, done whatever or been wherever, but there's nothing to match the experience of feeling God's hand upon you and moving you, okay? And taking you here and pushing you to do this. And you feel like, you know what? Me and God are working together. And what's God working for? For peanuts? No, God's working for salvation of the world. And I'm somehow part of this great plan. There is no thrill which is greater than that. Nothing beats that sense of satisfaction. Trust me. If you don't believe me, if you can't comprehend what I'm talking about, and you say, well, there's no way, give it a shot. Okay? Give it a shot. Test me. Try me. And then come back and tell me your results of your experimentation. But if you're not being used by God, okay, if you don't feel God using you, then I'm telling you that you are missing out on life. That there is a great experience waiting for you in life. That there is something great for you to feel, a great fulfillment and satisfaction, which you just ain't getting any of, and you're never going to have that same kind of experience with anything else. Okay? So, my gifts show my plan, God's plan for my life. They show my value in life, and they give me their source of my fulfillment. Now, the question is what am I supposed to do with the gift? Okay, I buy what you're saying. I want to use these things. But what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do now? Like, do I just invent the gift? What do I do? Well, God wants you to do three things with the gift. First thing He wants you to do is discover it. Okay, that's step one. Discover it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, St. Paul stresses on this when he tells the Corinthians, desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Seek after them. Okay? Try to figure out what your gift is. Every single Christian must be seeking out which gifts God wants them to use. If you are not, okay, if you are content the way things are, and you don't care what your gifts are, and you're not trying to figure out how you can use your gifts for God's service, well, then I say that you have to question your relationship with God. Because Christianity, nowhere in Christianity is there anywhere about laziness. Is there anything talking about just be content as is, just do what you got to do? So I say, if I find a Christian who says, I love God and I want to worship God, but I don't really want to serve God, I don't really want to figure out what He wants me to do, I'm content as is, well, I question that person's Christianity. I question whether or not that person really loves God. Because if you really love God, then you would seek to truly give Him whatever it is that you can. Okay? And figuring out your spiritual gifts will help you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. St. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The Bible is very clear, saying God isn't a game of hide and seek. He didn't give you a gift and then hopefully by the end of your life you can discover it. No. It's not something which is, it's not like a game He's playing with us. He's saying, I gave you spiritual gifts and I don't want you to be ignorant of them. So all you got to do is try to figure it out. All you got to do is seek it and it's right there just waiting for you. But the question is the effort on our part? Alright? So, what am I supposed to do? How do I discover my spiritual gifts? Well, there's two ways to discover your spiritual gift. There is experience and experimentation. Okay? Experience and experimentation. First thing is experience. You look back at your spiritual, look back at your experiences in life and see, like, let's say you look back at your life and see, in what ways have I served God so far? In what ways have I, used, what gifts has God given me in the past? What have I been successful at? What have I enjoyed doing? And some of you, maybe, you know, that's playing in Sunday school with the kids. Maybe that's, you know, helping out whatever, the homeless, the poor, the sick, whatever it may be. Ask yourself, you know, look back. Where have I seen results when I've tried to do something good? Where have I seen God's blessing? That's the first step that you should take. Now, what if you've never gotten involved in anything? What if you've never done anything at all? If you've never experimented with anything in order to find out what your gift is, then you got to go to step two, which is experiment. Means you had a trial and error. Okay? A lot of times it's trial and error. It's you got to give certain things a shot. Some things will fail, but some things won't fail. So do the things that don't fail, and the things that do fail, get away from them. But there's no, like, easy way to just sit down and, you know, and take a test, and God gives you, well, this is what your gift is. It's a matter of trying and failing. Classic example I give, you'd have come to me 5 years ago, let's see, no, you'd come to me 6 years ago when I was a senior in college, and you'd have told me, in, you know, a few years, you're going to stand up in front of 400 people and you're going to give a sermon. I'd have laughed you out of the room. My roommates would have definitely laughed you out of the room. They said, this guy's a couch potato. He just sits there. He can't say nothing. All he knows is statistics and fantasy league football and all that kind of stuff. This guy's going to get up there and talk. They wouldn't have believed you in a million years. And I wouldn't have either. I can't stand up in front of people and talk. But you know what? Came point in time, became a priest. When it shows you out there, you got to figure it out. So you give it a shot. And you know what? It worked. You know, other things I tried didn't work. So it's just a matter of trial and error. Some things work, some things don't work. You know who definitely would never have guessed it in a million years? And who I still, to this day, there's one person that when I see him in the church, I can't preach. It's Uncle McCary. Anyone know Uncle McCary? Okay, you old schoolers know Uncle McCary was our Sunday school teacher back when I was in junior high. And for that, every time I see him, I just start apologizing for what we used to do to that man. Okay? And every time I feel like I'm going to give a sermon in front of Uncle McCary, I can't do it. Because he's seen the this side, and he's chasing me there, and all this kind of stuff. But the point is, it is not an easy thing. You just got to try to figure it out. I can honestly say that in this church right now, there is at least 100 different things, 100 different ministries going on, and 100 more new ones that aren't going on because we're just waiting for the right person to come along. So figure out what it is you like to do, what it is you're good at doing, and just give it a shot. You know, give it a shot. For example, I'll just rattle off a few things. Obviously, the one that comes to our mind first is teaching Sunday school. Teaching Sunday school is 1% of the service that goes on in this church. Trust me, 1% of the service in this church is Sunday school. There's always all kinds of other things. There is people who are interested in music. There's music ministries. People who like to help the poor. There's the poor people ministries. People who like to help the newcomers who are coming from Egypt. People who are good at teaching. People who are good at cleaning. People who are good at, like, physical labor. There's all kinds of stuff. We have a school here in the church. School always needs people to come and help. There's data entry. There's all kinds of different ministries that are going on. What I'm saying is, give it a shot. Give something a shot. Whatever it is you're good at, whatever it is you're talented for, just try. And if it doesn't work, oh well, you lost nothing. Give something else a shot. But don't be scared to try. I guarantee you, you'll find your niche. Okay? You'll find out what you're good at. You know? But you just gotta try. And the beautiful thing is when you try something, oftentimes before you even realize it, someone will come and tell you. Someone will come and say, you know what? You're really gifted in this area. You're really talented in this area. Okay, you'll see that start to happen once you try. There's a story of someone in my mind who served for like 2 years in Sunday school as a Sunday school teacher, the standard job. And it didn't work. They didn't like it. They hated it. Okay, it was frustrating. They didn't do a good job and all this kind of stuff. Then the person realized that, you know what, the church needs help with, you know, certain IT projects. This person's an IT person. So they started getting involved in that. They started helping out the church with all kinds of different IT projects and little things on the side. And that's their niche. And I'm saying that before this person came along, there was no one doing this. Now because this person is gifted, they're doing it. There's like 150 Sunday school teachers. Believe me, we don't need more Sunday school teachers. We need more people to do the other stuff. What's so-called little things. Yes, Chris?
I have a question about spiritual gifts.
Yes.
How do you differentiate a spiritual gift from a non-spiritual gift? For example, your McDonald's example. Mm-hmm. I know people who are not Christian, who are like atheists or whatever, who are, you know, that leadership guy some people would do, or even the preacher guy, like, whatever.
Right.
So, but they're not Christian.
Okay.
So...
That's like, okay, the question was for those in here, how do you differentiate like spiritual gifts from like, we can call like personality traits, Okay? Because like in my McDonald's example, there's surely non-Christians who, you know, will like, you know, clean up, or surely non-Christians who would, you know, say some of the stuff that I said. The difference is when I'm talking about spiritual gifts, okay, whenever we become, like I said, when we become baptized, we become born spiritually, God gives us certain things to use, like in our, that He wants us to use for our spiritual growth. Okay? That He wants us to use, you know, to serve the church, serve the body of Christ. He gives us gifts that we are to use in that area. Okay? Now that's kind of, that your personality, everyone can have personality traits, but what I'm trying to talk about is now how we use it for the body of Christ. Does that make sense? No?
Clarify more?
Okay.
For example, if someone with a certain personality trait became a Christian, would you expect them to jump into ministry that fit the personality they had before?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's what we taught. Okay. Now I see. Okay. Chris said, okay, if someone is non-Christian and then they have certain personality traits, then they become a Christian. Would you expect them to have the same kind of, to jump in the same areas? And yes. A classic example that I told you guys about last week is St. Paul. All right. St. Paul had a gift of, let's say, for example, zealousness or zeal. Okay, let's say that's his gift. He was very zealous, but at the beginning it was for the wrong person. It was for a God who wants to kill Christians. And that's what he served 100%. Then all of a sudden, his eyes became open. He said, no, that's not God, that's God. But his zeal didn't change. You know, like he was still programmed with the same inside, so now it's just using it for the right way. Okay? Does that answer? Okay. Yes?
Actually, I have something to say about that.
Sure.
That I feel that if it's spiritual gift, then it's not going to be limited. Because if it's a personality trait, I'm going to be tired of it soon, helping people or anything. So, but if it's spiritual, then because God is my provider in this, so I'm going to be happy doing it.
Right.
Unlimited.
Okay. Very good. What she said, I'm sorry, what's your name? I'm sorry.
Carol.
What Carol said is that when it's a spiritual gift, is different than like a human gift, and that's a very, very good way of looking at it, because the source of it is unlimited. Okay? If I am a kind person, just my, it's my personality, then I can be kind up to a limit. But if kindness is my spiritual gift, you know, and it's from God, then what's the limit to the kindness? It's God's kindness. And what's God's limit on anything? Nothing. So it's kind of unlimited. Okay? And a good example to kind of back that up is, there are people who are serving in this church. Okay? Like I said, there's hundreds of people serving in this church. And some of them, I don't even know their name. Some of them never get a thank you. Some of them never get someone to stand up and clap for them. They never get a check in the mail. They never get anything. What's motivating them? Why are they doing it? No one's even saying thank you. They're not even getting recognized. What's moving them to do it? Well, exactly like Carol said. It's a gift from God, so when it's a gift from God, you enjoy doing it. Okay? And so it gives them fulfillment. It gives them satisfaction. No one's even asking them to do it. It's just something that they have been programmed that when I do this, you know, it makes me happy. And there's certain people that if you try to tell them don't do this, then they couldn't function or they couldn't survive. Okay? Thank you for that comment. So, first thing I do is discover it. Second thing you got to do is you got to develop it. You got to develop it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Your spiritual gift should not be neglected. Your spiritual gift is like a muscle. Let's say God gave me a bunch of muscles. Or let's not say God. Let's say I worked and I have a lot of muscles. But then let's say I decide to neglect it. I don't work out. What am I going to expect to happen in a year from now? Is the muscle still going to be as strong? It's going to be flabby. Okay? It's going to be flimsy and flabby. Well, same thing with your spiritual gift. It requires you not just to say, okay, you know what? I had muscles at one point in time, or I had a gift at one point in time. It's a matter of developing it and training it and working it out and making it stronger and strengthening it. Okay? And I'll be honest with you, I think that if you look at the first step was discover, second step is develop. A lot of us, maybe some of us are struggling with number one, discovering our gift, but more of us are struggling with number two, meaning we know what our gift is, but due to laziness or due to fear of embarrassment or due to busyness or whatever, we just ain't using that gift. And that's much worse to me. Okay? You better believe that the devil is going to do everything in his power to make sure you don't use your gift. Because that's your ammunition in life. That's how God armed you. That's the weapon God gave you. Every one of us has a different weapon in this war. And God gave you that. So the best thing for the enemy to do is to convince you to put your weapon down. And you know what? Sometimes he even uses very positive things to do that. I was meeting with someone the other day. This person, it's like there's a sign written in heaven in the sky that this person's spiritual gift is very clear. This person has been gifted with children and is gifted to work in the school here in church. Okay, we have a school here in the church, and this person is very clear. Everyone can see it. It's written in the sky. It's like in bold face, screaming with like neon lights everywhere. Your gift is to work in the school. But this person, okay, not work in school, but to help out with certain things in the school. But this person, okay, who's a very good person, is so bogged down with problems, with people coming to this person with, you know, they need help with this. And it's like they're asking for this person to do things which this person is not gifted to do. For example, counseling. This person's in a role now of counseling which drags the person down and which is something that it doesn't help the other person, it doesn't help this person, it hurts this person's family, and then by the same token, this person can't do what they were gifted to do. I think a lot of us in life are that way because we're too busy with things that bog us down that we say, no thank you, no more. I can't add any more. I've got any more space on my plate. My plate's already full. Well, yeah, it's full, but it's full of the wrong things. Okay? Yeah, there's no space on your plate because you got all the wrong items in there. What you need to do is you need to get rid of the bad stuff that's in your plate so that when the right thing comes along, which you were gifted to do, then you have the space to accommodate it. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. St. Paul says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. All right? Stir up that gift. Now, before we flip over to the other side, just because I have a gift and I've discovered this is my gift, does that mean that it's always going to be easy? Let's say, for example, let's say God gave me the gift to stand up here and talk to you. Does that mean that I just stand up here and it's very, very easy and there's no effort put into it? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that at all. You know how much effort goes into preparing one of these things and the handouts and the copies and all that kind of stuff? So it doesn't mean that, okay, you're gifted to do something, you know, just show up and everything will work fine and dandy. No, there's effort. You need to stir up that gift. You need to work on it. But the point is that when you're gifted with something, number one, you'll be successful, and number two, you'll enjoy it. Okay? But it doesn't mean that you'll find success without any effort. All right? Now flip to the back side. So discover it, develop it, and then number three, use it. Number three, use it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Worst thing you can do is discover your gift, then put it on a shelf and let it collect dust. That's the absolute worst thing that you can do. God gives each one of us a gift, and He wants us to use it. Well, where does He want us to use it? What's the name? God created an organization. Okay? He created an organization that each one brings their gifts and use their gifts in that organization. Do you know what that organization is called?
Church.
Called the church. Very good. And if you look at the plan, look how wise it is. Look how brilliant God is. That God has a plan of salvation for the whole wide world. Okay? But it's not a one-man show. It's not a one-man operation. This one needs to make the signs. This one needs to make the handouts. This one needs to do the talking. That one needs to take care of the kids. That one needs to prepare the refreshments after. That guy needs to make sure that there's parking space. That guy needs to pave the whatever. Everyone's got a different job in this great mission. And God, in His wisdom, doesn't allow it to rely on any one person. Okay? It's like a symphony. All right? A symphony, to some people, is very pleasing to the ear. And it gives them great enjoyment to hear. But it's not because of one guy or another guy. It's the mixture of them all together. Okay? Like a mosaic is another one. Any piece of the mosaic in and of itself is nothing. But when you put them all together, it makes a beautiful picture. It's the same thing in the house of God. Every one of us is given a gift, and none of them is more important than the other one. And we all need to work together to do God's plan. Okay? The There's a famous parable in the Bible, Matthew chapter 25. It's the parable of the talents. You all know it, right? It's not on your handout. The parable of the talents, where the guy gives to one guy five, another guy two, another guy one. All right, I give this guy $5, this guy $2, this guy $1. I go away, I come back, and I want to see what each one did with what I gave him. This one had five, made me five. This one had two, made me another two. This one had one, what did happen to this one? He said, I don't want to risk it. I want to hold on to my talent, and I don't want to risk losing it. How did the master feel about that third one? Wasn't very happy, okay? Wasn't very happy at all. Well, I'm trying to tell you this. The point of the story is the following. That each one of us has been gifted by God with talents, okay? Each one of us has been given spiritual gifts. And I'm not telling you this for my own benefit. But I'm telling you, one day you're going to stand before God. And very simply, He's going to ask you, I gave you this, 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 and that. What did you do with it? I gave you all these gifts. Did you sit on it? Did you bury it? Or did you use it? Did you discover it? Did you develop it? Did you use it for my glory? What I'm trying to say is this is serious business here, okay? There's going to be a final exam one day where you're going to be called out. And I want you to be ready, all right? Look at the final verse in your handout, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. My prayer for you is that you would realize the investment that God made in you, and that it's a sin, a horrible, horrible sin, to take that investment and to just bury it or throw it away. Okay? Any questions? Okay, let's stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for bringing us here today. We thank you, dear Lord, for gifting every single one of us with unique and special gifts. Dear Lord, we know the explosion in growth and the huge impact that could happen on this church and on this world, dear Lord, if every single one of us realizes our spiritual gift and realizes how you've gifted us and begins using it. We can only imagine, dear Lord, what it would be like if every member of the body of Christ is using their gifts for your glory. We can't imagine, dear Lord, what it would be like and how exciting and fulfilling it would be to see that. Help us, dear Lord, to commit ourselves to discovering our gifts and to developing them and using them for your glory. You direct us, dear Lord, as you see fit, and you show us, dear Lord, how you want us to serve you. We thank you for the great gift that you gave us of eternal life and the gift of your Spirit, which we celebrate these days. And we pray, dear Lord, that none of us would waste any of those gifts that you've given to us because they're precious. Bless our gathering here, all my brothers and sisters. Bless our church. Bless our Father, Rudum Shoy, to Sonia Irini and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary and St. Mark and all your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift of fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.